This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, September the 26th. Cecil, and nobody has tried to kill any major presidential candidate in the last 7 days.
And that's because we raised $86,000.
We did.
For Humanists for Harris over the weekend.
God damn, guys. That I like for everybody that showed up, there was about 1,000 people that showed up, which is great.
It was
to our live stream.
At a peak, it was like 1,100 people.
That's outstanding.
Up. Yeah, it was great. It was great.
We had a great turnout. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We read the opening salvo, I think it would be called, to Project 2025, Citation Needed Style. Great time.
It turned out to be a great time. It's a little over 2 hours long. It's on our YouTube page. If you want to check it out and watch it, you can go to our YouTube page. You have to search for live stuff. So if you go there, at the top, they have all those tabs. Well, at the top, they have live. It'll say live. And so you click on the live videos or whatever it is. I'm pretty sure it's live is the tag number, but you know what I mean. It'll say something like that. And then if you click on it, it'll have a banner that says Humanist for Harris on it. And then you just click on it. You can watch the whole thing there. Or if you like, you could, if you're a patron of either Citation Needed or of Cognitive Dissonance, that night I downloaded it and immediately posted it for our patrons.
For the audio.
For the audience.
That's great.
For both audio and the video. I posted on both those sites. So the video is available for patrons. Oh, you don't have to go to YouTube. For both those, and same thing with audio. You could just listen to it if you want just the audio.
And just as importantly, that site to donate is still open.
It's still open.
That site will stay open. So as we go forward, if you are able to and compelled to donate, that site continues to operate. $86,000 is a huge outpouring of support. There's very little else that we can do that could matter this much, right? Like talking into these microphones matters. Raising awareness, talking about this stuff, making noise, encouraging, cajoling, everything we can do to get people to go out and to vote. I think that stuff does matter. I really do. You know, me asking Taylor Swift, you know, please, will you endorse Kamala Harris? I think that may have, I was glad she did that for me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, we're tight like that. There's no bad blood. We're tight. So like, you know, she was nice enough, you know. I think that might've made a difference. But the $86,000, money's everything,
man. Big deal, man. You know,
money's everything.
They're going to be able to use that money. And like, there's been a lot of these smaller donation drives.
Mm-hmm.
She's made a lot of money doing this to her campaign, and that's going to help drive commercials. It helps pay for signs. It helps pay for staffers. It helps pay for people who are going to call people on the phone or walk door to door or put mailers in the mailing, mail those things out. All that stuff costs money.
Holding a rally because she actually pays her bills.
And I will say, yeah. And I will say this too. I like Tom, wish that this was not a thing that we had to do.
Yeah.
I wish that we could have taken that money and put it to something else and given it somewhere else. I wish we could have done that. But we figured that a really good use for that money to help protect a bunch more people is to make sure that the U.S. government is involved in that protection. Because if the U.S. government is now the adversary, you need to pay a hell of a lot more in charity money than what we raised this weekend.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly right. I would rather raise $86,000 in now and get Harris installed than to have another abortion fundraiser, man.
You're not wrong.
Another horror, you know.
You're not wrong.
Like the horror that was and the events that it directly led to that outcome.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to do that again. Not because I wasn't proud of our audience. I'm intensely proud of our audience, but I'm fucking heartbroken that it had to happen.
Yeah. And the reason it had to happen is because the United States government was our adversary.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know who designed this junk. The mechanics are all wrong.
This story is from the New York Times. Republicans' electoral college edge, once seen as ironclad, looks to be fading.
That's good news.
This is good news. So this was an interesting article. I think it just came out today in the New York Times. And, you know, we've talked a lot on this show about the Electoral College, which I want to say at the outset. I don't care that the Electoral College edge is fading. It is a bad system. It should be abolished. It should be abolished. But what this is really describing is that, you know, it used to be the case, and it's been the case in several elections in a row, that the popular vote did not necessarily lead or indicate the Electoral College vote. And now those numbers are getting closer and closer back into alignment. It is only sane to have a system that actually elects who most of the people vote for. No other system is sane. There is no possible way that you should be able to win the presidency and lose the popular vote. That should be literally impossible.
I agree with you. And one of the arguments against the removal of the Electoral College is people will often say, what I don't want to have happen is I don't want to have 6 or 7 population centers across the country be the ones that decide this election. I don't want to have, you know, these giant million people cities, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. When it comes to New York, what is it, 12 million or something like that? Millions and millions of people. There's, I don't know how many people, 10 million live in the metropolitan area of Chicago, you know, Dallas, LA. Lots of these different places have these big population centers, and they don't want to have these few population centers make those decisions. But what you're doing is you're saying, I would much rather have these few population centers, states, make these decisions, because that's what it comes down to. It comes down to these 4 or 5 swing states, 6 or 7 swing states. There are some states that don't have any push. And one of the reasons why this is working and why maybe his popular vote isn't changing very much is that he's not making any ground in these swing states. He's only making ground when he makes ground in places where it will not win him the vote.
Right.
He's not, if he makes ground in New York City, who the fuck cares?
Right.
It's literally a throwaway vote for him. It doesn't matter. That vote is not gonna count because of the Electoral College system.
Yep.
Again, this is bad for him too, because he's now voting for these people that are voting in New York. You got to throw all those out. It doesn't even matter. Every single vote that's not a winner vote gets thrown out in these places. So you're essentially erasing what could be an enormous following for him is suddenly erased. I want to read really quickly just a paragraph from this. And just so you can hear how confusing this is. The simplest way to measure the advantage in the Electoral College is to take the difference between the national popular vote and the vote in the tipping point state, the state that puts the candidate over the top in the Electoral College. Right now, President Harris leads the... pardon me. Right now, Vice President Harris is my wishful thinking.
Can you say it again?
Right now...
I'm almost there, buddy.
Vice President Harris leads the polling in a national vote by 2.6 percentage points and leads Wisconsin, the current tipping point state, by 1.8 points, which makes Mr. Trump advantage less than a point. Why do I feel like the person trying to sell me Electoral College is also trying to sell me a car out of the same overcoat?
Yeah, dude.
Like, I feel like I'm getting sold a mortgage by Cart Gage Mortgage. What the fuck is happening? Like, why is the system so complicated that I have to look to one state to decide whether or not somebody is going to be the next president? Shouldn't I be able to look at the temperature of the entire nation and be like, no, she's up?
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, I want to go back and yes, and a point that you made, because I think it's exactly right, and I just want to add something to it. So the fear of the Electoral College apologists will say, to your point, look, I don't want the fate of the country to rest on California, New York, Illinois, and Texas, and instead what we have is a system that by default then says the fate of the country instead rests on Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Michigan,
Florida,
North Carolina. you know, Florida. Nevada, Florida.
Yeah, because Florida went Barack Obama twice.
Right.
So instead
it rests on these other states, but it's even worse because it rests on states where less people live.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're not just trading out a handful of states are going to actually be more powerful than the other handful of states. We already have that. We're never not going to have that. We don't have a perfectly evenly distributed populace. We will never have that. Some states will always have more power, either more electoral college power or more popular vote power. We're never getting away from that. But if we choose the electoral college vote power, what we're doing is saying it's the same number, a small number of states that matter, and it's less people that matter. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want a system where most of the people are made happy by the choice that they make? It's also insane to be like, well, I mean, we don't want like where most of the people are to matter more. Yeah, because if we have policies that benefit those people more, then more people benefit. That's how the majority of things work. Why would we want a tyranny of the minority?
And
that's crazy.
That's what you have. But I think, you know, like I understand people who get upset and say, well, I don't want them to forget about the country people or whatever. And I get that. I understand that, right? I do understand that. And I think that that's up to your states to try to make sure that they take care of you as best they can. Because you're part of, like, if we're saying states matter,
yeah,
then your state should be somebody who's stepping up to the bat to make sure that the rural areas of their state are taken care of just as much, if not more, than the places that are more populous. And in fact, you know, when you think about the way that the taxes are distributed, even in Illinois, those people who complain about Chicago, who live in the southern part of the state, they complain that Chicago decides all this stuff that happens. Chicago also pays for everything.
Yeah.
Right. So like, again, you know, you're not putting a lot into the kitty. You're not. And yet you're complaining constantly and you're getting your whim very often.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, look at how many different fucking Republican Congress people come from Illinois.
Yeah, and I looked this up the other day because I was curious about it after I read this article. I think it was today or yesterday. But it's something like, I'm not going to quote you an exact number because I don't remember the exact number. But I looked it up. I was like, I wonder if most people in America live in cities or if most people live rurally. And it's actually like 60-40. So like, yeah, it's most. But like, you're not winning an election not appealing to everyone.
You have to. You have to appeal to those places.
I don't think I actually think the system would be more fair for everyone. Right now we have a system that's unfair for everyone. It really is. Like, it's not fair even by any, there's no stretch of the imagination. We'd be like, yeah, you know, the most powerful fucking state in the country should be Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania?
Well,
you can't even put streetlights on your highways. What the fuck are you talking? I've driven through all of Pennsylvania. There's nothing that I want in the entire, that state is the most powerful state in this country.
Well,
that state should be excised from this country.
There's
your sandwich is terrible.
There's five or six places in the fucking nation that are literally deciding. They're the ones with their hands on the fucking wheel.
I know.
That's ridiculous. And they're like five or six places in this country.
Michigan, it's all trees.
The thing is though, if you could flip fucking Texas.
Yeah.
It's over.
Texas is done deal.
It's over. Florida is over.
And Texas is an interesting example. Now, I guess I know people will write in and say it's the size of Texas that makes this possible. I fucking know that. But what's really interesting about Texas is that Texas has been red for a really long time, even though all of the urban centers in Texas, all of them are blue. Dallas is blue. Houston's blue. All the big urban centers.
When was the last time Texas went blue?
I don't know. I don't know.
Guess.
Oh, God. Sometime in the 70s?
That's exactly right.
I guess
right.
In the 70s?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
Last time they went blue was Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, so almost 50 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a long, long,
76.
Long time.
76 was the last time they went blue.
But I think Texas is interesting because they are kind of a demonstration that you can actually have an election be won by the rural areas, even though all of the urban areas are blue.
You're right.
So like, it's kind of a great example of, no, you cannot win an election without appealing to the rural voter. You can't. How do I know it? Look at Texas. Why is it red? Every urban center is blue. State is still red. Because you have to appeal in a big enough space. Those people aggregate in a way that matters. They will still aggregate in a way that matters. We've built a system that's unfair for everyone.
It's a terrible system. I looked up several of the, what I thought would be the most red or blue static states and how long they've been that way. And I was actually surprised. Texas was the longest one. The other ones, most of them were in the 80s, were the last time that they were that color.
Really?
So California was red in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, California, last time they were red was with George Herbert Walker Bush. So that's Bush the Elder.
Okay.
In 88, they went red.
That, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was a landslide election.
Yeah, and then Barack Obama with Florida. So that was the most recent one. Florida was the most recent one. And Florida is like the third most populous state in our country. So, you know, like
Is it really?
It's the third most. I think it's the third most. It might be the third most populous state. 22 million people live there.
On purpose.
Yeah. And then New York, last time it was red was Reagan. So, it was the second Reagan term, but they voted for Dukakis in the Bush thing.
Did they really?
Yes. Yeah, so they went for Dukakis. And then Illinois, last time it was red was, again, George Herbert Walker Bush. After that, we were blue.
If I remember that election,
it was a landslide.
Yeah.
The second one was not because he lost to Clinton.
Clinton, yeah.
But and Perot.
Perot did steal a lot of.
Perot stole that election.
Well, read his lips. No new taxes.
I'll tell you what.
Here's some new taxes. Blew his shit up.
And I'm being persecuted by a vigilante mob.
All right, this story is from Yahoo News. Trump vows to create a task force that combats anti-Christian bias if reelected. So this was as part of like a fucking prayer hoedown or whatever he did?
Yeah. He had a conversation. One of those prayer calls.
Right.
They do this a lot where they have somebody on and they talk to him. So.
And like, just to be very clear, what this means when they say he's going to have a task force that combats anti-Christian bias, what they really mean is that they are going to put together a task force that prioritizes and centers Christianity in all forms of government to the exclusion of the non-religious and all other religions in America and create a de facto theocracy.
Yeah.
That's really what that means.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And what I think is great about this article, too, is they mention, you know, it's the Great Replacement Theory isn't just racist. It also has to it a Christian component, right? When you hear people like Nick Fuentes talk, I don't know if you remember this, but Nick Fuentes was attacking J.D. Vance. And Nick Fuentes was attacking J.D. Vance by saying something like, I can't believe he's going to marry outside of his race.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, does he have what kind of ethics does he have if he doesn't marry a Christian,
right?
That stuff is embedded, right? So it's not just the Great Replacement Theory when it comes to, you know, removing or not centering whites anymore. It's also, like you just said, not centering their religion anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of this. And that's something that they brought up in this article that I liked quite a bit. And really, genuinely, you have to remember, too, that they're going to use this Christian centering to attack things that they can try to attack using religion. And LGBTQ plus rights are the first thing that go, because that is one of those things that a lot of these people really don't want to see on the main in society.
Oh, 100%.
So they're going to go out of the way. And every single one of these churches that Trump sort of seems to ally himself with is crazy LGBTQ plus, and they're anti that. They don't like those people at all. And they want to try to strip as many rights away from them as possible. And so, you know, again, I know that there are some, for some reason, there are supporters of Trump that are gay or that, you know, I don't know if they're trans people, but there might be. But genuinely, that is so voting against your own interests. It would be hard to top that.
I will say this now. I fully believe, I don't even feel like this is even a prediction. I just believe this to be true, that if Trump wins the next election, without a doubt, I think that the Obergefell decision will be reversed, and I think same-sex marriage will fall.
I
think that might still happen anyway.
I
think with Trump in power, I think it is certain to, I think 100% certain to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we'll see anti-miscegenation laws come back. I'm not sure that we'll see a rollback on that. That I'm a little more dubious of, but I am 100% confident. Like, I just feel like it's fucking like ironclad. I'd put my next two paychecks on it.
The stuff that they've already rolled back, you can see that they're trying to fix some of the things that happened in the last 20 years and what they figure was a liberal court gone wrong. So they are going to try to fix a lot of those things that they think are...
In a very Christian-centering way, in a very white Christian nationalist-centering way.
Yeah.
You must have a lot of abandonment issues. Reality isn't father knows best anymore. It's a kick in the face on a Saturday night with a steel-toe grip Kodiak work boot.
This story's from Independent. Trump claims audience went crazy for him at his debate with Harris, but there was no audience.
Can you read what he says here? Because I want to just double check just to make sure that that is exactly what he's saying.
He said, they didn't correct her once, and they corrected me, everything I said, practically, I think, 9 or 11 times. And the audience went, those absolutely, they went crazy, he said.
What? Went crazy for what, though? I don't understand what he's even talking about.
They did not, first of all,
there's no audience.
Correct him 9 to 11 times. Yeah. They corrected him 3 times.
Yeah.
And there was 3 corrections.
Yeah, and then there's no audience.
There was no audience to go crazy.
But what is... Went crazy for what, though?
Like in support of him, maybe? I think what he's trying to suggest.
In support of him or support of her?
I think what he's trying to say is that the audience that loves him, because everybody loves him.
Oh, okay, all right.
He gets fact-checked in the moment by the moderators, and the audience is like, boo, nerd, boo! But of course, that's just like literally impossible without a fucking audience to be there.
Imagine if Biden were to have said this.
Oh, yeah.
This would be literally, there would be
yeah, man.
7 New York Times op-ed pieces saying we need to invoke the 25th Amendment.
Why, dude, can we talk for a minute? Why the fuck is the media sane-washing this bullshit constantly? We are not calling him out for any of the same shit. If Biden had said this, it'd be like, oh, he's too old. He doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah. They need
he's
to take his power
delusional.
Away. They would literally
strip
say
him
that.
Of his,
yeah.
of his office.
Yeah, they would say that.
This guy says this and he constantly says just wildly, factually inaccurate, obvious, reality-defying bullshit. And it's just like, nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling this like the insane ramblings of a delusional fuckwit, which is what it is.
Which is exactly what it is, yeah.
What is happening? I'm asking, honestly, I don't understand. Why is the media continuing to forego their responsibility to hold truth to power?
Well,
they're not doing it when it comes to Trump in this really exclusive way.
I think, you know, if you're going to think about this as a way to think about the dark, nefarious side of human beings, what you ascribe to them is that they choose to do this because if it's a race, it sells more papers. If it's not a race, they don't have a lot to talk about for the next 50 days. So if they sane-wash him, then there's still a race. If they treat him the way they treated Biden, then there is no race because suddenly his diehard numbers will just not show up. They're going to be like, oh, this guy's fucking crazy.
God.
And so there's nothing to talk about. That's if you're ascribing the most cynical view.
Yeah, because that assumes...
Of humanity. I mean, that's genuinely, if you're ascribing the most cynical view, then that's what it is. I don't know if that's true. I don't know the operation of their mind. I don't know why when they sit around an editorial desk or an editorial table at an office with doing an editorial meeting, they have these conversations and say, let's not talk about this the same way we talked about Biden. But you have to point out that they have kid gloves when it comes to him. And they fucking had boxing gloves when it came to Biden.
For real, man. Like, this is a guy who's talking about fucking, like, batteries electrocuting you and sharks eating you and fucking
And don't get me wrong. They mention it because we hear about it. So they do mention it, right?
But they don't mention it in a way that judges, right? Like, they mention it in a way that is almost like, well, here's another silly little gaffe. Here's a little goof. And you're like, wait a minute. Wait a fucking minute. He doesn't seem in his right mind. Shouldn't that worry everybody? Shouldn't we all be really concerned? Like, why is it that, like, he's only 3 or 4 years younger than Biden? Everybody's so worried about Biden's advanced age and the cognitive decline. Here's a guy saying increasingly strange shit. Increasingly strange shit. Nobody's talking about his age. Nobody's talking about his cognitive decline. It's not like at the forefront of everything. If a Democrat said the same shit, man, they would be raked over the coals. This guy says this crazy ass shit. And it's like, yeah, but he's always played fast and loose with reality. And you're like, my God, do you hear you?
That shouldn't be something you're good on.
Right. Like fast and loose with reality.
I feel like maybe
here's the nuclear football,
maybe,
sir.
Maybe we shouldn't do that though.
Holy fuck. What the fuck are we doing, man? God, we like to dance with the apocalypse. Don't we fucking just love to, like, we're playing fucking Just the Tip.
I'll tell you,
with,
man.
With fucking Armageddon,
I'll
tell
you,
with this,
you know,
shit.
Like, I don't know if that's what their motivations are. I don't know. I can't tell you.
I know.
I can't tell you. But if that's what it is, fuck them forever.
Dude,
if that's
for real.
What it is, fuck
for
them
real.
Forever.
Ferris, we better try something else. This isn't working.
This story comes from Wisconsin Public Radio. Kamala Harris tells WPR she supports eliminating the filibuster to restore abortion rights. Fucking good. Fucking get rid of that filibuster. I was thinking about this earlier today when I was reading this story. I'm so fucking sick to death of the dysfunctional goddamn Congress and Senate that we have. They can't find their ass with both hands. They don't pass a fucking bill to save their lives. If the filibuster is this constant threat that they don't even have to enact in order to hang over the heads and say, oh, nothing happens unless we get 60 fucking people to gather together and to jerk each other off in just the right speed with just the right grip strength. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. This is why we never get anything done.
Yeah.
We need to get things done. And like, I fully concede that that is going to come back and burn me when the guys that I don't want to be in power are in power. But I kind of just want a functioning government.
You know, out of curiosity, I went and looked up sort of the history of the filibuster. And really, our country did not use it very much until the 1970s. So it really started gaining a lot more. The filibuster started coming in much more during the Civil Rights era. That's when people were starting to use it more and more and more.
Yikes.
And it was because they didn't want to give civil rights. It was those Southern Democrats who were, you know, I know that there's people who love to point this out and be like, look, see the Democrats? And you're like, yeah, where are they now?
Right.
What party are they in now?
Who cares what people?
Well, yeah. Right. What party would they be in now?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What party? Right. Who had the Southern Democrat strategy?
Uh-huh.
Was that Nixon who did that? A Republican who went after those votes? In any case, the Democrats at the time, they caused a big stink and they kept on doing filibusters. So they had to put in a rule that allowed them to sort of get around it. And what they did was they sort of made it so that you could have two pieces of business happening at the same time. So one piece of business could be going on, and if somebody's filibustering, I can still maneuver around them. And they're not stopping the Senate completely. Nothing grinds to a halt. We can still maneuver and get around them. Which is why you don't see, I think, the people doing the big filibuster, you know,
Mr. Smith going to Washington,
where you don't see, like, you don't see Mitch McConnell with fucking gout legs out there standing up there trying to fucking try to figure this out for many, many hours. He doesn't have to.
Right.
Right. The threat of that sort of thing sort of appears, and they do this sort of what they call a silent filibuster in the 70s. That's when they sort of introduce this silent filibuster, which is sort of just the threat of filibuster if you do this. But what it does is it favors the conservatives, because conservatives don't want to do anything.
Right.
They want to conserve. They want to stop things from happening. So this 100% favors them. And I know people are going to say what you said earlier, which is it's going to bite me in the ass, which is what happened with judicial appointments, right? So
right.
Judicial appointments, there was a needed a certain number of people in order to bring these judicial appointments to the floor. Well, they weren't allowing it during Obama's term. They weren't allowing them to do it. They were like, no, we're just not going to let you. They just basically broke government. And then you had to just break the system so that you could actually use government how it should work. Because they were like, we'll just wait Obama out. We'll have just a bunch of vacancies and then we'll just put who we want in. But fuck Obama. We're never going to put any of his judges in.
And that's not an exaggeration. Mitch McConnell said that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let the audience know. Mitch McConnell said it out loud.
Yeah.
Everything you just said, he said out loud, we are going to make it impossible for him to get anything done.
And so what they did was they had to get rid of, and they voted to get rid of, the federal justice appointment, like, you know, vote count that they needed to get it started. But they left the Supreme Court one there. They said, we're still going to leave the same level for the Supreme Court. Well, as soon as that federal one was gone, the Republicans got into power. And when they did, they took the Supreme Court one out. So I know a lot of people want to blame this on the Democrats, but the Republicans created a toxic system
right.
that then forced people in order to do something, they had to do something about it to get around it. And then they use that as an excuse to say, it's your fault. You're the one who did this. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself.
Right, right.
And they're blaming it on the Democrats when it's not their fault at all.
Right.
And this is, again, another thing. They're creating a toxic environment that allows for no legislation to even get talked about. This is the thing that people don't understand when they don't understand the filibuster. You can't even introduce the bill. You can't even say, well, let's have a debate on, we're going to do, you know, gay marriage protection across the country
sure.
or something. We're going to do that right now. Let's talk about it. No,
no,
we won't even fucking talk about it. We can't even let it hit the, so what you're doing is creating a dysfunctional government. And then there needs to be some remedy to that. And then when the remedy gets bit, then they're going to blame it on the Democrats, because they're going to say, well, you're the one who found the remedy for it, but they're never blaming the people who created the problem.
Right. Right. Yeah. Look, I fully recognize that, like, we're going to get things through the system that I don't want to see get through the system. Okay. All right. I'm game for that. Let's have a functioning government. And when I say functioning, meaning a government that passes laws and legislation, a government that can bring something, to your point, to the fucking floor and actually pass and demand a vote yeah. on it. Let's get people on fucking record. There's a whole procedural system which allows these fuckers to avoid even going on record voting against things that are by and large wildly popular. Most of the stuff, when you go out on the street and you talk to people, doesn't matter how they poll, most people want abortion. Most people. It's not close. It's not like, oh, it's 51-49. It's not like that. It's overwhelming, like by American standards, political standards. It's overwhelming.
Like 60 plus.
Yeah. This is a big plurality. The Affordable Care Act was a great example. When people went out and said, hey, what do you think about these key yeah. elements of the Affordable? We didn't call it the Affordable Care Act. What do you think about, like, being able to stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26? What do you think about, like, eliminating the pre-existing condition exception for private insurance companies? What do you think about creating a marketplace where individuals who aren't employed with a traditional employer can buy insurance through a marketplace at package rates or at group rates? Everybody was like, sounds great. They're like, it's called the Affordable Care Act. Obama's,
I hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Enough. Enough. We need to get things through. We need a government that functions. We need to get bills placed. We need to get people on record voting for stuff. We need to be able to look at our senators. It used to be when I was growing up that what we were taught was, look at the voting records of the people that you are considering voting for. Look at their voting records. That's kind of a shit way, honestly.
It's a shitty way now, because now, the only thing that comes is budgetary stuff.
Yeah. It's so hard to look at the voting records because so much stuff never makes it to the floor to be voted on. We don't really get a sense of who these people are and what their values are and what drives their voting, because we have a system that prevents them from ever being able to even debate something. Enough's enough. The government should function. It should just function. Fuck the filibuster. That's a bad thing. It's a bad, stupid system.
Also, I totally agree, because you're saying, I want to just get you on record.
Yeah.
Just get on record. And, you know, I know that there's going to be people out there, and there's a guy who I game with who has said multiple times the Democrats are going to fuck themselves if they remove this filibuster. And I disagree. What I think is going to happen is in these places across the country, in these all these places across the country, when something like abortion comes up, and let's just say the Republicans get in office, let's say they flip both houses, let's say they have enough votes yeah. where they can bring this stuff up and then they can win the vote. Let's say they put in a national abortion ban.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's a voting record you can look at.
Yeah, man.
And you'll know that your senator voted against this. I'll know if Dick Durbin voted against or for it. I'll know if Tammy Duckworth voted against or for
yeah.
it, right? You'll know these people and you'll know what they did. And that, I think, changes their perspective on whether or not they're going to do it in the future.
Dude,
they
yeah.
might walk away from it. They might say, you know what? I'm not going to go on record for that. I'll say it on a campaign stop all day
right.
that I'm pro-life. But the moment I got to put my name on that, not hard pass.
Dude, it creates political transparency,
yeah.
which we don't have, because we don't allow people. They do this bullshit where they don't allow it to go to the floor. It doesn't get debated. It doesn't go up for vote. There's no political transparency. There's obfuscation.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't get to know. force them to take a position.
Yeah.
And if they don't like it, they can get a different job.
Yeah, man.
Nobody said you have to fucking work here, bitch.
Also,
you begged for that job.
Yeah. Also, none of those Republicans will reinstate it.
No, none of them.
What's not going to happen is if it gets taken down, there is literally no way that the Republicans, if they win, they will not put it back in.
No, because it would be fantastically unpopular.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. Series of tubes.
This is from WTRF.com. Ohio sheriff who told public to write down the address of Harris supporters says those individuals with liberal policies have to accept responsibility for their actions. Let me read you what he wrote on his Facebook page. And before I read you what he wrote, because then I'm going to read you what he said after he got in trouble for it. He wrote this not on his personal page. He wrote this on his fucking public-facing work page where he identifies himself with his title as sheriff.
Also, Tom's going to read what he wrote, and what he wrote is hurtful towards immigrants, but Tom's reading it verbatim.
Yeah, I'm just reading what someone else wrote. These are not my views. Trigger warning if these are words that are upsetting for you. I say write down all the addresses of the people who had her signs in their yards. So when the illegal human locusts, which she supports, need places to live, we'll already have the addresses of their new families who supported their arrival. So that didn't go well for him. He also called Harris a flip-flopping laughing hyena.
I hate that none of these people have had a bit of joy in their life.
I know.
So they think laughing is weird. Whenever there's so many people who post pictures of her laughing, and I think, good. She should laugh. What is wrong with that's a human emotion, man?
Okay,
and,
good.
And
whatever makes sense. Ha ha ha. Whatever makes sense. Ha ha ha. Okay, good. Ha ha ha.
He's like a guy you pull something on the back. And okay, good.
What would he even sound like?
I can't
with
even.
That dog
could you
Muppet
imagine,
mullet haircut?
Have you ever heard Donald Trump laugh?
No. What could he sound like?
Here's the thing, though. Right?
What could that sound
isn't
like?
Isn't that abnormal?
Wait a minute.
No. I don't want you to continue on that thought. Isn't that really abnormal?
That's what I'm saying. How is it that he's been in the public sphere for this long and I've never heard him laugh?
Not a single time. I've never heard him laugh. That's not normal.
That's crazy.
He's been in the public sphere for decades because of his loser TV show he was on.
That's right. I'm trying to picture him laughing. And I don't mean mean-spiritedly making fun of somebody, but like laughing because something was funny. I cannot picture it. What would his face even look like?
So that's
what grim rictus would he break out into?
That's the thing though, is that, you know, they're gonna attack her for laughing and just doing a normal human thing.
Right.
And then their guy, you couldn't point to a single time he did a human thing.
No, I like your candidate, fucking Trump, cannot hold his own wife's hand. Like, he can't do anything normal. Everything he does is fucking weird. He stares at the fucking eclipse. Like, I'm not even talking about his political shit. Just like when you watch that guy interact with other people, it is a horror show. Watching him shake hands with world leaders makes me so embarrassed I want to fly over and apologize. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Did you yank your arm?
Oh
Did
my
you
God.
Do the arm yanking
That's
thing?
Not how we
That's
do
not
that.
How we do.
We're just like,
asshole.
Come over here. I'll make you
He's
dinner.
A gigantic
just,
asshole.
He's a piece of shit. That's not a power play. We don't, I know it didn't work. It's nothing. Nobody cares. Yeah. it's nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work. All right, so this sheriff on his fucking sheriff page wrote this horrible shit. Then it didn't go well. And he doesn't really apologize.
No.
What he does is he bitches. He says, as the chief law enforcement officer of Portage County, I've sworn to protect all citizens of my county. Recently, I placed a post on my personal Facebook page. That's not true. It was not on his personal Facebook page. It was on the page of the public figure, Sheriff Bruce D. Zukowski. That is where it was. You don't even understand the fucking internet, you dumb piece of shit. All right, on his personal
I typed it into the search bar.
And yeah, and then he says, that may have been a little misrepresented, question mark. There's literally no way to misunderstand.
You can't call immigrants locusts and then be like, well, I just, come on, there's a lot of ways to interpret that.
Hey, all right, look, if you're going to read this as uncharitably as possible,
Jesus Christ.
When I refer to immigrants as a plague of resource-sucking vermin.
My co-host on Lawful Assembly, he's a pacifist.
Yeah.
He would fucking jaw this guy for saying that. I mean, like, it is the most offensive thing you could possibly say.
Horrible.
It's the most
genuinely
offensive
horrible.
Thing.
Yeah. May have been misinterpreted, as the elected sheriff do have a First Amendment right, as do all, I think he's trying to say I do. Do have a First Amendment right.
Do have a First Amendment right?
Do has
okay,
first.
Okay, good.
Whatever makes sense. Do have a First Amendment right, as do all citizens. If the citizens of Portage County
yeah,
want to elect
understand it, really what you're talking about here. So
if the citizens of Portage County want to elect an individual who has supported open borders, which I've personally visited twice, dude, you're the sheriff in Ohio.
That's so crazy.
Nobody gives a fuck about our southern border. It's the sheriff of Ohio. That's not your fucking thing, dude. You don't have, like, I'm not like saying nobody gives a fuck. I'm just like, saying that, like, that's not your fucking responsibility.
It's like a hair out of your jurisdiction.
Just a yeah. touch. Just a touch,
it's
big
a
guy.
A little out of your jurisdiction.
And neglected to enforce the laws of our country, then that is their prerogative. With elections, there are consequences. That being said, I believe that those who vote for individuals with liberal policies have to accept responsibility for their actions. I'm a lawman, not a politician. You're an elected guy. You even say in the thing that you're elected. That makes you a politician. I would also like to thank the overwhelming support I'm receiving from many people in Portage County who are afraid
who are
or not
racist.
Allowed to agree with me publicly.
Who are also racists. Yeah. You know, what a stupid fucking thing to say, right? Here's his argument in a nutshell. If you vote for liberal policies, then you need to bear the weight of those liberal policies only. We're not a nation, right? We don't all just, all of us decide that we're all going to bear it. No, if you vote for certain policies, then you're the one who has to bear it. Well, that's so fucking stupid. That's not how any of the rest of government works.
No.
If you didn't want a fucking road and they built a road, they don't just go to the other people and say, well, you got to pay for it because that guy didn't want it. That's not how it works. That's not how government works, you fucking fool. He doesn't even know how. This is an elected official, man.
I know.
You don't even know how any of it works.
He so doesn't know how it works. He, as an elected official, doesn't think he's a politician. Bro, you had to run for that office and get elected. That makes you a politician. Just because you're a politician with a fucking bat utility belt.
No kidding. Yeah.
Doesn't change anything.
Just because you have fucking flashy lights on your government car doesn't mean you're not a politician.
Jesus Christ.
But what makes me crazy is you just don't understand how fucking government works. Man, that's not, if the government,
right,
all that represents all of us, decides to enact a policy, then that policy is bore by all of us.
Yeah, man, it's not a la carte.
Well, and
it's not a la carte. We're not sovereign citizens. Well, like what? Like that's
yeah,
some
I'm not
sovereign
traveling.
Citizenship.
Yeah, I don't have to put like fucking, you don't need to see my license or whatever on the back of my car and just drive around.
I wrote my name with my left hand in all caps or whatever, so now the government doesn't apply to me.
But seriously,
stupid ass.
This is the same thing that fucking Abbott thinks, though, too.
Oh, I know.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So all those places along the border that are federally funded, that get a lot of money, get a lot of federal money from us to make sure that they could accommodate new arrivals, no. We're going to send them to other places in this country that aren't prepared for them because they're the ones who need to bear this burden. It's like, no, the United States needs to bear the burden. The entirety of the United States, singling out small communities that aren't ready for it doesn't prove your point.
No, it's like I don't get to just like pay the taxes that pay for the things I want.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I didn't actually vote for that spending bill. Yeah. So I'm not paying,
I'm not
for,
paying
the
for that. No way I'm paying for that shit.
Nah, I'm not doing it. That's America.
Film at 11, and Cuba was nuked off the face of the earth late this afternoon by President Priest in retaliation for yesterday's evil attack on Orlando.
This story comes from ProPublica. EPA scientists said they were pressured to downplay harms from chemicals. A watchdog found they were retaliated against. So,
what administration was that?
That was under the, Trump administration.
Huh. Cecil. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so these guys, their job was to figure out whether these chemicals were problematic, whether they were causing, and they were. They were causing, like,
problems.
Fucking yeah. untold harms, right? Like
causing problems.
It was causing, like, fucking neurological problems and miscarriages and fucking birth defects and fucking, like, fish with three eyes and, like, all kinds of crazy shit. And so then they did the thing the scientists do, which is they wrote down true things that the science said. And their supervisors were like, take it back. Take it back.
Take it back.
Don't write down true science stuff.
Take it back or you don't get cake in the break room.
No one's signing your birthday card, Jim, until you take back the thing about miscarriages.
But seriously, they were like disciplined. I'm making light of it, but genuinely, they were disciplined for this.
They were disciplined. They lost certain benefits. They were transferred out of certain jobs. Yeah.
This is retaliation from the government. And you know, this is, again, projecting by the other side because this is what they do. So every time they've ever said they're going to weaponize the government against somebody, they've already done it.
Yeah.
They've already done it. The same thing happened with the weaponizing of the Justice Department. He already tried to do it and did it when he was in office. The same thing here. They would weaponize any department that they can to go after other people. That's what they do. That's how they operate. Look at how Jeff Sessions attacked the border.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Look at all these people that were part of that government that withheld shit during the pandemic. They didn't send supplies all over the place. They only sent it to select places that kissed his ass. This is a guy who 100% weaponized every department that he could. And if you look at Project 2025, any of it, it's all in there. This blueprint to get rid of people like this is right in there.
Yeah, because what project, we talked about this before, but I think it bears saying as many times as possible, Project 2025 is a blueprint to build the deep state they want to have.
This is what they want.
This is deep state shit, right? So this is like what a deep state is a bunch of bureaucrats who are controlling the levers of government at the fucking grassroots level. Here you've got some scientist who's like, hey, my job is to find out if these chemicals cause fucking fish with three eyes. Here's a fucking tank full of fucking three-eyed fish. Turns out the answer is yes. And a bureaucrat says, let's suppress that knowledge. Let's suppress and lie. They call it compromising. You don't compromise on scientific truths, right?
Yeah.
Things are either scientifically accurate or they're not. This is not a debate we compromise on. It's either true. Like, this is the deep state operating to push forward an agenda that is politically driven. This is the real deep state. These guys are fucking like Lady Dolph protest too much all day.
Yeah.
It is this constant Macbeth shit. It's absolutely fucking exhausting.
You've been hearing nothing but misinformation, propaganda, and outright lies.
CBS News, Florida's new COVID booster guidance is straight up misinformation.
That's CBS News just said that.
Yeah.
That's not like a New Republic or something.
Right.
This is CBS News saying that this is literal misinformation.
This is straight up. I just got my COVID booster last week.
Right. I got mine too. Yeah.
They
didn't have Novavax. I had to get the other one.
The mRNA. Yeah. I drove to Costco to get the Novavax one because I brought my family because there's no side effects for us that we have had.
I wanted that one because I got sick from the other one again. Not bad.
Yeah.
But definitely felt a little cruddy for 2 days.
It's so weird. The Novavax one you can only get around here in Costco.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I went to the wrong place. And another thing that drove me crazy. They have a big sign at my pharmacy that says no appointment needed. Just show up.
Right.
But then you show up and it's literally 60 minutes of them filling out forms.
Jesus Christ.
That you would have to fill out on anyway online that you could fill out way faster because you know how to type your own name. So basically they say, come in. And so we came in on a Sunday and we're just standing there. I'm standing, I'm thinking, well, why do you say that if you want me to just stand here like an asshole? And I seriously had to wait like over an hour to get this shot because he had to fill out all the paperwork, had to check my insurance, had to sit down because there was people ahead of us. And then finally we got the shots, but I'm in there for over an hour. And I'm like, well, then why would I do that? Like, why would you say no appointment necessary? Yeah, I guess not, but I still have to spend an hour there. Doesn't make any sense.
That's
but
terrible.
I'm going to go to Costco next time because we couldn't get the. I asked him. I was like, "Got the Novavax?" He's like, "No, it's Moderna." And I so that's what I got.
So you got it. We drove. It's we don't even have a Costco membership, but like they'll let you in there to go use their pharmacy. So because they want the pharmacy money, so we went in. I brought the family. I bring my nanny. Nice. I'm like, I make her appointments too. I'm like, yeah, if you're coming to my house, you're getting the shot.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, okay. So I make her appointments. She's come. And then we get to wander around and eat samples. We were in and out in under an hour eating with samples.
Yeah.
So
see, that's great. Yeah.
So, but like in Florida, they've got a crazy Floridian Surgeon General. The Surgeon General of Florida is a crazy lunatic anti-vax nut job. And of course, DeSantis is a crazy lunatic anti-vax lying piece of shit nut job. And he's in bed with the Surgeon General's in bed with him. And so they put out this crazy misinformation, like telling people, hey, like I actually want to read what they said. I don't want to even like, you guys got to just hear this. This is so crazy. Here are some claims in the bulletin by the Florida Surgeon General. COVID boosters don't undergo clinical trials. That's not perfectly true. The boosters themselves don't undergo a specific clinical trial for the booster. Same is true of all boosters, flu shot boosters. Yeah. It would just take too long. But they are technologically just a variation
just
on an existing thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Right. So there's no need for it. And this is like technology that we've used for a long time. Right. So we know that you don't have to test every new booster and that's not even possible. So that's misleading.
They're fine people on both sides. Willie wasn't talking about them.
Right.
It's basically splitting hairs with the truth.
It is. And it's intentionally misleading. The shots pose a risk of infections, autoimmune disease, and other conditions. Just no.
Yeah.
That's just not true. That's just like straight up. It's not even like there's some truth or that's an exact. That's just not a true sentence in any sense of it. Right. They said the shots could cause elevated levels of spike protein and foreign genetic material in the blood. Again, that's just not a true.
Yeah.
That's just some fucking YouTube rabbit hole, Joe Rogan, RFK bullshit. That's nothing there, man. Take a fucking cold plunge and get that shit out of your head.
All this shit is dangerous too.
Yeah, man.
Every single thing they're saying, vaccines save lives. These COVID shots have proven that they lessen this disease and make it so it's much more manageable on so many different people. And the idea that these people are spreading this kind of misinformation to a population that is much older than the rest of the nation.
Yeah, man.
You know?
They specifically say that old people and sick people shouldn't get the COVID booster. They specifically say it in the bulletin. This is murder. I mean, honestly, if somebody gets COVID.
Yeah, it's ideological murder.
And
right?
dies from COVID.
Yeah.
And they are following the advice of this bulletin and did not get the booster. There is a high likelihood that that person would not have died. This misinformation is going to kill people. More people than zero will die as a result of this bad information.
What is the point of this?
I don't understand.
The thing is that DeSantis just chose somebody who is genuinely not qualified for the position.
1,000%.
And this person is now just, I have the megaphone and I'm going to say the craziest shit I possibly can about vaccines. And they do. And they get away with it. This is not a small voice.
No, man.
In our country. This is a one in 50 job in our country.
Oh my God.
And they have a huge voice over millions of people.
22 million, you were saying earlier.
Yeah, millions of people live in that state.
And the other thing is too, that because he's got a prestigious title, people outside the state of Florida will point to this that are already ideologically on board and say, see, and they will amplify this message. A couple more things he says. Americans face unknown risks from too many booster shots. Fucking no. Yeah. That's just not a true sentence either.
Definitely not with Tom. Tom had everything.
I've had the Johnson & Johnson. I've had both Pfizer's, both Moderna's. I've had a Novavax, and I had another Moderna. So I've had 8 COVID shots. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine.
How many times? Once.
I had COVID one time. Floridians should exercise and eat vegetables and healthy fats. That doesn't save you from getting COVID, man.
I mean, that's fine. It's fine. You should do that.
We should all do
that. But
that
doesn't have anything at all to do with what you're talking about.
That's it's like
get a good night's sleep. Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ice cream have tastes
better,
good.
Have better posture. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I agree. I'll try.
Wonderful.
I'll
advice.
Do the best I can.
Yeah.
But no matter what, my neck does this when I sit at the computer.
Hey, kids, stay in school.
I can't stop my neck doing this. It does it all the time.
Also, real quick, that bulletin also urges all Floridians to avoid the mRNA shots and then specifically neglects to mention the existence of the Novavax shot, yeah. which does not use the mRNA technology and uses a more traditional technology. So even for those people who, and it is, the Novavax vaccine was an interesting, and it's just kind of a nice digression. It was an interesting point when that became available in the U.S. to see just how dishonest these guys were, right? Because all of the pushback was, oh my God, it's this mRNA thing. We don't really know. You don't know what the mRNA is all new tech.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's the Novavax. It's using a much more established, older crickets.
Yeah.
They didn't say, okay, everybody rush out and get the Novavax shot. Hey, everybody here. None of that. None of that. They ignore it like it's not there.
Yeah.
They just ignore it because they were never honest with you to begin with.
Yeah, they never cared about you in the beginning.
Yep.
They never wanted to help you. All they wanted to do was make sure that they kept selling the same point that they sold over and over and over again.
Yep.
Vaccines aren't dangerous.
Vaccines aren't dangerous,
YouTube. Dangerous. They're not dangerous, YouTube, okay?
Everybody should get lots of vaccines. I've had them all.
Yes. Well, I'm hoping to see some lightning tonight, although the weatherman says there's not going to be any rain. Well, there's going to be plenty of rain, all right. Wind, thunder, lightning. It's going to be one hell of a storm. Well, thanks. Nice talking to you. Maybe we'll bump into each other sometime again in the future. Or in the past.
This story is from Freedom From Religion Foundation. Evangelical climate change denial is killing our planet. This was a fascinating study that was done.
But also one of those things that after you hear it, you're like, ah, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah, there's no part of you that will be surprised. But here's something I'm just going to read straight up. Like New York University political scientist John Kane and University of Oklahoma sociologist Samuel Perry have published a new working paper finding that the belief claiming that, quote, God has a secret timeline involving Jesus's return and the world's decline and destruction is the strongest religious predictor of reluctance to endorse policies to combat climate change. Another way to say that is if you're a religious nut, that is the strongest predictor that you are also a climate denier.
Yeah, because you are an end times blood cultist.
Yes.
Right? You think that there is going to be a sacrifice of many, many, many millions of people to bring about what you think is a utopia. You're a blood sacrifice person. That's 100%, what you think.
Dude, yes.
I mean, and if you think that, if you go through your life thinking the end of the world is nigh, then of course you would have a fatalistic view when it comes to like whether or not you should take care of the planet. I mean, that's like fucking, Tom, it's like giving your fucking retirement over to Zool or whatever. Like, are you kidding me? You don't go to fucking Keymaster Financial and be like, here's my portfolio.
Keymaster Financial. I'm starting that. I am 1,000%.
It's just got
started.
Two dogs. It's two dogs to look out. No, but seriously, man, like, you don't fucking give that guy and be like, he's like, man, Stay Puft's coming next week. I don't know. Invest it all in DJT.
I don't know. Look, all
like,
I know.
Who cares?
When you're looking at your bonds and your stocks, do not cross the streams. Do not cross the streams.
Don't cross your income streams. No, but seriously, man, like, of course you wouldn't look at that person for advice. Of course you wouldn't. That's like asking the person who's screaming the end of the world is nigh on the corner and asking them for advice.
Well, yeah, like, and it's like, it's also, it's like, it's not only like, are they living with a sense of like, future-based futility that we none of us should share.
Right.
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 None of, but they also believe that fate is preordained.
Yeah.
So if I believe in then obviously, like, it's so funny. It's so funny that they can hold these two fucking ideas in their insane boiling heads at the same time.
Cognitive dissonance,
Tom? It is cognitive fucking dissonance, my friend, because they have to believe in free will. Biblically, free will plays a big part in blaming people for being evil, and that's why sin and all that bullshit, right? But how the fuck do you have free will and also God controls everything and there's a fucking preordained pattern and here's the... They can't. You can't those. They can't together. None of that. None of that. But these people, if you believe that the fate of the world has been preordained,
sure,
that fate is a real thing, that the existence of our future has already been determined, that all the things that can happen have happened in some sense by our divine creator, then like, yeah, you would be like, yeah, what am I going to do, destroy the earth? Or fucking the locusts wearing fucking army helmets and swords or whatever
are going to do that.
The sun is going to crash into the ocean and flash boil the blood of the fucking Jehoshaphat or whatever. And then fucking Jezebel is going to swing out and fuck the wrong guy. And then the Antichrist shows up with a smile and the end, you know, like whatever nonsense, fever dream, revelation, boogeyman garbage your brain has absorbed. That's where you're at now. If, however, you're just like a real person who doesn't believe in fucking fairy tale bullshit, maybe you want to make sure the air is breathable.
Yeah. And you know, like having a fatalistic, cynical view of how the world is going to continue on and to always constantly just be like, well, I don't fucking care about it. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Look at how they talk about what they want to do if they get in office. Look at how much they want to change climate policy. They want to roll everything back to how it was back in like the Bush era.
Yeah, right? Man.
They want Hummers down the street. They want all this stuff. This is, in my opinion, some of the most scary shit that religion does. In my opinion, this is the scariest shit. This fatalistic, like, I want to bring about the end of the world stuff, because you are trusting that this is what is real.
Yeah.
And no one else in the world is playing along with you. Not the masses that you think of.
Yeah.
And we're in this, and we're along for the ride with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a person I want to be in charge of anything. If you want to be fatalistic and cynical and shitty about your own life and how, you know, like you're waiting, you're counting the seconds for the apocalypse, that's fine. You do that with yourself, right? But you shouldn't be in charge of anything that matters.
100%. Like we should only have people in charge that have a look forward to the future.
Yes.
That has some optimism.
Yes. Yeah.
There's literally no point in you planning for a future you don't plan to attend.
Yes. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to have a funny show on Thursday, so come check that show out, and then we'll be back on Monday. But we're going to leave you, like we always do, with Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards.
Now you know I can't eat hard-boiled eggs and
nuts. Shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle @dissonancepod. This show is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.